But let's talk to the man who's the head of the BBL right now. Anthony Everard is on the line again. G'day, Anthony.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Good. What'd you make of the 71-odd thousand that turned up yesterday at the MCG for the big derby?
Yeah, look, really, really pleased. You know, I think everyone was kind of wondering what would happen post the same game last year. And we always thought anywhere between sort of 70 and 80 would be a fantastic result. So given the less than ideal weather in Melbourne, as can be the case sometimes, we're really happy with that crowd.
Absolutely. And no logistic problems in and out and all that sort of stuff?
No. I think we were delighted with the way everyone got in and out of the venue. I think a lot of people probably weren't from last year, and we pushed a pretty hard message to try and get there early. And what we found is that by the time the women's game had finished, sort of late afternoon, we had just under 25,000 people in the venue. So yeah, really smooth operations, and equally pleased with that as a result.
25,000 there by the time the women's there—that's sensational. I would have thought.
Yeah, brilliant. It's probably twice the number that we had for the equivalent game last year. And I think it just goes to show, you know, the growing support and appetite for the WBBL generally.
Now, the Duckworth-Lewis system, Anthony.
You're not going to ask me to explain it, are
you? No. Oh, God, no. Geez, we haven't got 3 weeks. No, what I was going to say is, we just got off the phone from Eddie Maguire chatting to him and Rodney Hogg we spoke to earlier about it. It doesn't seem to work in this shortened version of the game when you shorten it again.
Yeah, look, I think we had a game in the men's Big Bash a couple of years ago. I think it was in Brisbane where we had a rain-affected result, and we spent a lot of time post-season looking at alternatives, things such as, limiting the number of wickets a team would have available to chase down a target and a whole lot of other different variations. And look, at the end of the day, we couldn't come up with a better version, so at the moment, we are working with Duckworth Lewis, and we've been fortunate, to be honest, that we haven't had too many games that have been rain affected.
Yeah, it's true.
I think what we found though is that generally speaking, the team that is on top at the time of a rain affected match generally will go on to win the match. We haven't had too many exceptions to that, so that's encouraging. But it is certainly confusing for the fans, and given the really short nature of T20, every now and again you do get an anomaly pop up, and yesterday we saw one of those.
And we see, reading the reports in this morning's papers, that Meg Lanning, as captain of the Melbourne Stars in the women's game, was on earlier, obviously, as you mentioned, wasn't aware of how it worked either. Her understanding of how it worked was different to how it actually worked, which is obviously something that needs to be addressed. Was there any reason in terms of a television presentation with that game from Perth coming after it that made the system have to be used?
There are so many moving parts. On a day where you've got three matches being played across two different states, start times and finishing times. So it is unfortunately a fairly, regimented arrangement that we have in place. It doesn't allow for a lot of flexibility. I think if it was a one-off game, maybe there would have been the chance to actually push back the finish time of the game. But yesterday we really were under a lot of pressure to stick to the agreed times, and that's why we didn't have the opportunity to play any more time in that game.
Well, given that game, one from Perth, didn't finish on my telly till about 10 to 1 last night, is that something you'll look at in the future as maybe not a great idea, or were you happy with that, or what was the wash-up of that for you?
Yeah, look, that's too late. I think the original plan is to play sort of a 6 p.m. to a 9 p.m. game on the east coast of Australia, and then roll straight into effectively 9 till midnight, which is a late finish, but probably just okay. What we've found this year, and it's actually happened with both games, we had a doubleheader before Christmas as well, is that both of the first games have gone overtime, maybe only 15 minutes, and then the second game has gone overtime as well, which takes us well past midnight. So, I don't think we're particularly comfortable with that, and it is something that we would look at after this season to see. We think there is a role for the doubleheaders, but yeah, we certainly want to get them finished this side of midnight on the east coast.
The doubleheaders in terms of the women leading into the men's, that seems to be working a treat.
Yeah, sure does. And you know, as we touched on earlier, the massive crowd that we're in to see the Renegades victory is a testament to that. So that's working really well. We've also got a number of standalone WBBL fixtures. There are games at the Adelaide Oval today, and also out of Bankstown in Sydney. And then obviously we had the opening weekend at North Sydney, which was a standalone broadcast event for WBBL also. You know, we've got 59 WBBL games to play in a pretty similar window to the men's competition. So we've got a few different options in terms of scheduling those games. But yeah, having the double headers at this time of year in particular, when everyone's on holidays and gets into the grounds a bit earlier, is a real feature.
No, it's fantastic. We noticed with the Etihad Stadium games that the Renegades are looking at bringing some big jumbo screens in and doing all that sort of stuff. We're going to see more of that. Is that where the next extension comes in for the fan sort of experience?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, credit to all the BBL clubs. They got a huge appetite for innovation, and I think one of the great things about this competition, you know, we're still only 5 or 6 years old, but every year the clubs are looking for, you know, how to take it to the next level, and we've seen that right around the country. So this Saturday night at Etihad Stadium, the roof will be closed, and for the first time, certainly in a sporting sense, I think, maybe if you define UFC as sport, that the Renegades are going to hang those Jumbotrons from the roof. And, you know, just another great innovation for fans. And I'd suggest if it works well, which we expect it to, you know, maybe that does become more of a permanent feature moving forward.
How does that work, Anthony? When do the Renegades come to you and say, this is the idea we've got, or do you explore that with them, or do you work together? How do you come up with that sort of enhancing and pushing the envelope for a game day experience?
Yeah, look, it's a bit of both. We've actually got some funds that we have set aside that are available to the clubs to, I guess, put applications forward to us for all types of innovative fan engagement ideas. So, you know, sort of halfway through the year, that we asked the clubs to put forward their ideas, and the Renegades came up with the idea of the Jumbotron screens, which we really like. So we've contributed some funding towards that. But, yeah, I think, you know, the clubs do a great job in that space, and so much so we actually spent some time over in the States in the middle of the year with the clubs and get around to different sports and events, entertainment options, and that's where a lot of the ideas and stimulus comes from.
We've talked a lot about the way this is growing the game, and we're seeing a lot of you know, really young kids at the games and families at the games and all that sort of stuff. How are we then taking, is it your responsibility at the BBL, or is it Cricket Australia's responsibility now to engage those fans that are spectators and making them into participants?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably one of the strengths of the model that we've got in place, in the sense that we don't have any sort of third parties or private investments. So the state cricket associations are effectively the owners of the BBL clubs, and the state cricket associations' really main purpose is to oversee grassroots cricket. So I think in the first couple of years of the BBL, we might have struggled a little bit. I mean, really, all the focus was on just getting this competition up and running. But yeah, when we actually set out our objectives for this season of BBL, there were three things that we identified. One was, I guess, to repeat what we'd sort of define as our traditional objectives, which are around TV ratings and attendance from last year. The second one was to continue to grow the WBBL. And the third one was to, exactly as you called out, translate the high levels of interest in BBL amongst kids into participants. So each state association, you know, has a fairly well-established game and market development department. We actually have a product called T20 Blast, which is sort of mini big bash that's played in clubs and schools. And, yeah, the objective is very much to translate the interest in BBL across into participants.
Oh, OK. I wasn't aware of that T20 Blast program, but now I am. That's a great idea. And that's, to me, that's been the thing that's been missing as I've been watching it this year. I've been trying to work out where we fill that gap in, but obviously you've already addressed that. You're two steps ahead of me, Anthony, as always.
Yeah, well, it's a program that was launched a couple of years ago. It's still in its infancy, but as I said, it takes all the features of BBL, so the kids get T-shirts that are in the same colours as the BBL teams.
Yep.
There's actually music being played at these events, and everyone gets a bat, everyone gets a bowl. So it takes all the ingredients of a BBL game and translates that into a junior format. So if anyone is interested in finding out more about that, just go to the website playcricket.com and you can find out where your local T20 Blast Centre is.
Playcricket.com. All right, fantastic. Anthony, I know you're about to jump on a plane. We'll let you get on that. That might have been your boarding call behind us. Thanks for your time as always. We'll talk again soon.
Yep, no worries. Off to Hobart tonight, and another big crowd expected there, so make sure you tune in and enjoy the game.
Absolutely, will be a beauty. Anthony Everard there, the head of the BBL, talking to us.